Karma Automotive, Forbes magazine's most anticipated luxury electric vehicle. Karma Automotive is a luxury EV brand designed and manufactured in California. Proud sponsor and official luxury vehicle of the Las Vegas Raiders. Charge the motion beyond EV. Karma Automotive. The Las Vegas Raiders have partnered with the global lifestyle app True Connect to give the gift of wellness. Transform your mind, body, and soul through thousands of hours of premium fitness content, guided meditations, progress tracking, and more. Visit tcfree.fit to redeem one free year of True Connect exclusively for Raider Nation.
The game is over, but we're just getting started. You're listening to The Fifth Quarter, presented by Twitch. On the Raiders Podcast Network.
Well, Raider Nation, it was not a happy Monday in Detroit for your Las Vegas Raiders. They fall 26-14 to the Detroit Lions. Eddie Pascal with my man DJ Duffel. And look, Bryce, you and I can be honest. We look at 26-14, candidly, a game that didn't even really feel that close. You and I will go through the numbers in a little bit. And I think as the Raiders sit here now at 3-5, we're about, let's call it halfway through the 2023 season. Like, we can be honest about where things are at right now. So I think for tonight, Bryce, like, I almost just want to have like a therapy session, right? I almost kind of like want to talk through some of these issues that we haven't seen now for a week or for 2 weeks, but we've seen for essentially half of the NFL season. Let's just start here, right? Davante Adams finishes his evening, prime time, one catch for 11 yards, right? And there's a lot that goes into that. So I don't want to say like, oh, it's as simple as feed Davante. But when you have one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, you have got to find a way to get him more involved, right?
Yeah, man. Eddie was popping. This is not looking good for my man, Davante Adams. It's almost sad to watch. Like, you're literally watching one of the best receivers of our era, of our time, that's still in his prime, just not get utilized. And it's not tonight. It's been the last month, pretty much. I mean, I don't think he's done anything more than seven catches or six catches since the Pittsburgh game, which was like over a month and a half ago now. I think that was the end of September. And it's just been looking bad for him. Like, obviously tonight he has some targets, but, you know, with all the pressure that Jimmy G was facing tonight, some of those targets don't count, right? Like, you know, like in the end zone when they were backed up, and he hit the double move and he was wide open and Jimmy G was just getting rid of it. Didn't even really look where Davante was. He just threw it up. Devontae's wide open, but ball's thrown out of bounds. And then there's another double move, I think later on, Sutton, I think his name was, beating him again. Ball was thrown too deep again. And then, like, you know, Davante had a drop. He had a drop last week as well. No excuse, because he knows, you know, damn well he needs to make that catch. But I think it's starting to become a thing where a guy that's has probably the most confidence in the league, you're starting to kind of see maybe like his confidence dwindle a little bit, or like he's not expecting the ball to come when it does. And now the ball is a little bit behind him and, you know, he doesn't make the grab, where typically he makes that grab, you know, with his eyes closed, you know what I'm saying? And you're starting to see, I mean, we saw a little clip today when he slammed his helmet down and, you know, threw out some expletives. You know, he's starting to get upset, man. He's frustrated.
I want to ask you this, Bryce, because you tweeted this out during the game, and I thought this was really interesting, just from one wide receiver to another. So you said, you tweeted, "SC man, the lack of targets to Tay is making routine catches for him seem tougher because his hands are cold. Feed Tay." Like, how important is it for a guy like Davante, who likes to have volume, right? Who likes to get a lot of passes thrown his way? How hard is it for him to then kind of get out of that rhythm over the course of a 60-minute ball game?
It's really hard, man, because now instead of being like, "Oh, you know, this is a overthrown ball," or, you know, "I was open and he missed me," and, "Oh, I know he's coming back to me the next play," or whatever, like, that starts to go, "Dang, like, I was open. I might not get another opportunity like that for the rest of the game." You know what I'm saying? And so now you start to think like, excuse me, am I going to get another op? Is it going to come? And like, typically that happens for a third or fourth receiver. You know what I'm saying? Where you're like, you know, you beat a guy, quarterback overthrew you, and then you're like, "Dang, like, I hope I get another op." now your number one guy is probably having those same thoughts because he's just not getting opportunities, man. And like, you have to, like, football is a rhythm game. You know, we say getting in the zone, we say a whole bunch of different things, and Devontae hasn't been able to catch a rhythm in the last few weeks, man. So it's starting to, it's not looking good for my guy right now.
Yeah. And I think, like, let's be honest here, Bryce, right? The Raiders lose 26-14. Devontae obviously doesn't get his numbers, but that's not the only reason why the Raiders ultimately fell on primetime on Monday Night Football. Right. I mean, we look at the offense as a whole, and again, man, again, just hard to find any type of rhythm. Josh Jacobs finishes his afternoon or evening, I should say, 15 carries, 61 yards, averages north of 4 yards per carry, which is great. But outside of that, not a lot of help on the ground. And we saw Josh be really effective for one drive, right? We saw one drive that was a throwback to 2022, right? The big fellas in the offensive line, you know, moving bodies up front, letting Josh do his thing. How hard is it to kind of replicate that performance, right? Because we saw it for a series, right? We saw the formula. It looked great. It worked. You're running behind the big guys. Josh Jacobs is in the zone. We heard it on the broadcast where Troy Aikman and Joe Buck were like, see, when you get Josh Jacobs in a rhythm, we talk about rhythm, Bryce, the offense can change. How come the Raiders aren't able to replicate that type of, I don't want to say effort at all, but that type of production for a full four quarters?
Because it's one-dimensional. It's one-dimensional. I mean, obviously, Josh Jacobs, you can give him the ball 20, 25 times a game, but when your quarterback is less than 50% passing and only throws for 126 yards and 10 completions, and in the first half, you know, you really don't have any receiver catching a pass, like not even Devontae. Like, nobody caught a pass from the receiver position in the first half, you know? So, yeah, you can get the running game going, but if the defense doesn't feel like you're going to punish them, oh, you know, on the back end with some deep balls or some intermediate passes or even just some quick three steps, get the ball at their hands quick and let the guy, the receivers get their yak. All they have to do is just key in on number eight. That's all they got to do. So it's not about the way you replicate that is you have to play complementary football. And now we're not talking about offense and defense and special teams. We're talking about we got the run game and we got the pass game complementing each other. And, you know, and then putting it together a strong enough strategy to where like you can have nice, you know, 50-50 production going from the run game and the pass game. But at the same token, E, like it's not looking like the offensive line is holding up much, you know, when it's time to pass either. Because if you look at, you know, most of those sacks, they weren't sending a lot of pressures. It was just a lot of four-man rushes that was just getting back to, you know, getting back to the quarterback. So I don't know, man, there's a lot of stuff that needs to be fixed, a lot. Yeah, on the offensive side.
I mean, you talk about the sacks, right? Raiders offense gives up six sacks. And look, I don't care if you're Joe Montana, if you're Jimmy G, if you're someone in the middle, right? If you're under constant pressure like that, if your offensive line is giving six sacks, and look, there's always kind of the combination of factors that go into a sack, right? It's not fair to put it all on Jimmy. It's not fair to put it all on the offensive line. It's a mixture of components. But look, when you're surrendering six sacks in a game, it's hard to play winning football. And I think what's hard for me, Bryce, and you and I have talked about this a bunch over the past couple weeks, is I'm at a point now where it's like, what can you do to change what we're seeing offensively, right? We're now eight games into this, right? The Raiders offense manufactured 7 points today. The Raiders offense manufactured 7 points, and the Raiders defense manufactured 7 points. Now, thank goodness for Marcus Peters. Very, very stoked that he got that pick six. But you can't live in a world and play sustained winning football if your offense and defense are each contributing the same amount to the scoreboard. So, like, we're halfway home. Going into 2023, the kind of pervasive thought around the silver and black was like, hey, if the defense can just be okay, if the defense can just be all right, this team's going to be in a lot of games and they're going to win a lot of games. In my humble opinion, the defense has been more than just all right.
And unfortunately, okay.
Yeah, and the offense has unfortunately not just been, hasn't been able to kind of, I don't want to say carry their end of the bargain, but they haven't, I feel like, matched what the defense has done. We look at the defense today, Bryce. You can't in good conscience ask this defense to do any more than they did. Now, I know some of the numbers aren't pretty, right? You look at Jahmyr Gibbs, stud rookie running back. I mean, that dude was balling. 26 for 152 and a touchdown, almost 6 yards a carry. Jared Goff goes 26 to 37, 272. Amon-Ra St. Brown is over the 100-yard mark. But this, make no mistake about it, right? this Raiders defense kept them in the game. Now, there was a large portion of this game where you're like, oh, man, the Raiders can't get anything going. But Max Crosby did what Max Crosby does, comes up with big plays and big moments. Like, it to me, it feels like, in good conscience, Bryce, you can't ask anything more from number 98 and company. Like you saw towards the end of that game where they are tired. They are beaten down. They're getting run over, no pun intended, right? There's only so much gas that they got in the tank. Like, they need to get a little help from their guys on the other side of the football.
Yeah, you know, I'm not really a big Halloween guy, but it is Halloween holiday season, and Max Crosby was looking like the boogeyman all game.
A machine,
just
dude.
Freaking wreaking havoc all game, and he was letting everybody know, I'm that guy. And he's been doing that all year. I feel like he's been doing that ever since he's came into the league. Like you said, the defense was playing great. We were stopping it. They were getting the ball in very good field position, and they were only coming out with 3 points for the most part of the game. Obviously, Marcus Peters has that pick six, but like you said, man, like, you can't, it doesn't matter how good a defense plays in the first three quarters. If you're giving up, if your offense is not on the field, and we always talk about this, time of possession, time of possession, time of possession. I want to say we didn't have the ball for longer than 20 minutes. That means that the Detroit Lions was out there for longer than 35 minutes. That means the Las Vegas Raiders defense.
I got the number for you, Duffel. Raiders time of possession, 20 minutes, 27 seconds. Detroit Lions, 39 minutes, 30. I mean, they damn near double time of possession.
Right. So the Lions, that means our defense was out there for 40 minutes, more than half of the game. You can't expect that they're going to stop the run game all game. You can't expect that Max is going to be just going crazy in the fourth quarter like he was going in the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, if he's literally just living on the football field all game. And so today what you saw from the defensive side was, like, they looked really good. And then the offense just couldn't be on the field long enough. And then the defense is tired. They have to go back out there and play again. And then the same thing, Marcus Peters has to pick six. They got to go right back on the field. You know what I'm saying? So that never helps, man. And the defense played great. I'd love to say if we had maybe 50-50 time of possession, Detroit wouldn't have scored the same amount of points that they scored. But then again, we only had the ball for 20 minutes and they had it for 40.
I mean, think about this stuff. Well, I'm looking at the score chart right now. Lions lead 3-0. Lions lead 6-0. Lions lead 9-0. Lions lead 9-7, right after the Josh Jacobs drive. Halftime, Lions lead 16-7. So in theory, right, your defense kept, I mean, they had three possessions, the Lions offense, where they were knocking on the door. And each of those three times, Patrick Graham's defense held up. Like, you go into that and you say, look, if we're going to allow the Lions offense to go up and down the field and they're going to get 9 points out of it, you take that every time, right?
Every time, dog. Every time. And then you're not even mentioning the forced fumble with Max Crosby,
yes,
on like the 3 yard line, yep, the first red zone turnover in a long time. Dude, they played lights out football. I mean, those defensive players should have their heads high.
Yeah, they should.
They shouldn't be, they should not be in the on the airplane like, ah, nah. They did what they were supposed to do. The rest of the team didn't.
Yeah, and I think that's what's hard, right? Is that it feels like, right, and you and I aren't in that locker room, so, you know, it's not fair for us to pretend like we are, but at least from the outside looking in, right, we're 8 games into this thing, and it feels like we kind of know who the Raiders' defense is, right? We know what they're about. They're going to be led by Max Crosby, one of the best edge rushers, one of the best players in the NFL. He is going to bring the passion every single snap. He's going to lift up those other guys that he's playing with. And he's going to carry them, and they're going to stay competitive, and they're going to keep the Raiders in football games. Offensively, we still don't know what the Raiders' offense is, right? We've seen glimpses of it. We see that drive in the first half where, like I said, the Raiders run the ball. Josh Jacobs gets going. We see, okay, I remember this. This looks good. We see it for bits and pieces, but we still don't know what they are consistently, Devlin. And I think that's what's kind of hard, is that we talk about an identity. We talk about, hey, who are the Raiders? What are they going to be? Defensively, and as crazy as it sounds, if I would have told you in July that we are going to know who the Raiders are, what they're about on the defensive side of the football halfway through the year, and we're not going to have that same answer on the offense, you wouldn't have believed me.
Yeah, not at all. I mean, the defense has been outstanding all year, I think.
And they've had their moments. No, they've had their moments, certainly.
Yeah, right, right, for sure. But, I mean, if you look at most of the scores this year, except for, like, maybe last week when the game kind of got away from them, like, the scores have been low. And that's all you can expect. In the NFL, man, you should be able to win a football game scoring 21 points, 28 points, you know, because most teams aren't really scoring over 17, right? And we're just in a situation where our offense isn't really scoring any more than 14 in a game. So we got to figure this thing out offensively. I don't think the coach on the offensive side of the ball really knows the identity either. So like you said, we're not in the locker room. We're also not at practice when they're practicing. So we don't know if they're pushing the ball down the field in practice, getting the ball intermediately to the receiver or intermediate routes to the receivers. We don't know how it's looking, but when we come to the game, we just know that we're going to get some runs and then everything else is going to be dump passes. Like, I haven't really seen the ball being pushed down the field. And if you can't push the ball down the field in your play pass scenarios, you know, the defense is not going to respect that you can beat them downfield, and they're just going to load the box, and it's going to be hard to run. It's going to be hard to do everything. And then when it's third and long, they're just going to sit in the house.
And you know what's hard too, Bryce? It's hard to win the NFL when your offense scores 7 points, when your offense produces 7 points, right? Obviously, the Raiders lose 26-14 tonight, but the defense gets credit for technically six, right? But we'll give them the seven. They get credit for half of those points, right? And so I think it's just hard to play. We talk about sustained football, right? We talk about having sustained success on the offensive side of the football. And it's hard to do that when you're not able to get anything going. I mean, dude, we're looking at the numbers here, right, Duffel? Your leading receiver today, and you and I were talking about this before we started rolling. Your leading receiver is Josh Jacobs. 2 catches for 27 yards. I'm a big Josh Jacobs fan. You're a big Josh Jacobs fan. He cannot be your leading receiver, though. He just can't. And after that, it's Austin Hooper, 2 catches for 19 yards, then 1 catch for Michael Mayer, 19, and 2 for Hunter Renfrow. You read the stats, Bryce, and that is, you look at that little screenshot there, and I would be shocked if I were to read that and you say, that is a recipe for winning football for the Silver and Black.
Dog, that's Tim Tebow numbers. And that hurts. That hurts. That's Tim Tebow numbers, okay? When Tim Tebow was in Denver, he was winning football games, throwing the ball for 87 yards. Like, that sounds like Tim Tebow numbers, dog. Like, you have the best wide receiver in the NFL. Then you have another wide receiver that can give you 100 catches, and he's done it. It's proven. Mm-hmm. And then you have another guy, and Jacoby Myers, who's solid, and he's been looking good pretty much. Like, honestly,
he's had a great 2023.
Yeah, statistically, he's been doing better than Devontae because him and Jimmy have a pretty good rapport, obviously being in New England together. But, and then you have another tight end, you know, Michael Mayer, who probably was the best tight end in college football last year, who's a monster, who's been making some nice plays. But, I mean, we're underutilizing everybody. We have to figure out ways to get those guys the ball. Like, I mean, dude, we're going to sound like a broken record, because if it doesn't happen, we're going to keep saying the same thing every week. These guys have to get the ball. The passing game has to get going. Bless you. Passing game has to get going for our team to be successful. And I think the reason why we have not been successful this year is because we cannot get the passing game going.
Yeah, and it's, man, I mean, you talked about it earlier, Bryce, right? And we do sound like a broken record. You say, hey, football's a game of rhythm, right? And the Raiders now, through 8 weeks, you know, I think we've seen quarters of rhythm. I think we've actually seen about a half of rhythm. We've certainly seen series of rhythm. We look at that. I know we keep going back to it, that drive at the end of the first half where Josh Jacobs is in the zone, is in rhythm. Jimmy and the offense in rhythm. We haven't seen it for a game yet, right? So I think if the Raiders, you know, if the Raiders want to kind of right this ship, if they want to get back to playing winning football, they have to find that rhythm some way, somehow. And you know as well as I do, right? The NFL season, it goes fast. You know, it's one of those things where it feels like you know, the offseason is so long, and then it's a sprint through the regular season. So as we get closer to the halfway point now, Duffel, like, the Raiders got to figure it out, and they got to figure it out in a hurry. They will return home now. They will fly out of Detroit tonight. They will get home very early in the morning. Now back-to-back home games at Allegiant Stadium for the Silver and Black, and they begin with the New York Giants. And Bryce, I am a firm believer, firm believer. I don't like to overreact to the wins. I don't like to overreact to the losses. The Raiders have got to play competitive football on Sunday at home with their fans against a New York Giants team that is really, we talk about rhythm, that has struggled to find any type of rhythm as well in 2023.
Yeah, you know, I felt real confident going into Chicago Bears game coming off of two wins.
Sure.
But, you know, just like how I was back when I was in Oakland with the team in 2013, 2014, two bad teams looking at each other, you always think you're the better of the two teams, and you can't get into that scenario, man. Like, you have to be focused. The Giants are a really good like, you have to be looking at it like, the Giants are a really good football team. They're the best team in the league, and they're the only team that we're playing this Sunday, and we got to stay focused or we're going to get our behind beat. And you don't want to be the team that another bad team kind of catches their stride on, right? So we got to figure something out. We need to win that ball game, okay? I mean, I have nothing else to say. We need to win that ball game against the Giants. I hate the Giants.
I know. I'm with you. As a former Cowboy, too, right? I know you're wearing your silver and black tonight, but as a former Cowboy, I'm sure there's no love lost for the New York Giants. But, Duffel, just real quick before we get you out of here, I wanted to ask you just about kind of the scheduling, logistical kind of wrinkle that playing on Monday Night Football provides, right? Obviously, it's great to have that extra day of rest on the front end, but the Raiders are going to get back really, really either late tonight or early in the morning, depending on how you want to look at it. But then we're into Tuesday, and now you have a day less to get ready for the New York Giants at home. Like, what is the kind of recovery, preparation, film study? What does that look like, kind of condensed down by a day?
Well, you know, everything kind of stays the same when you think about practice and, you know, film study and all that going from Wednesday to the game. The only thing that changes is the fact that, like you said, typically, if you play Sunday, you either get Monday or Tuesday off. I don't know how the league is operating now. You know, when I was playing, it was either you got Tuesday off or Monday off. So just say your Monday is your typical day off. You will come back to work on Tuesday. So now you don't have that day off. So, you know, a lot of guys are probably going to come in, you know, to the facility, you know, with some ailments, with some aches and pains. Obviously the emotions probably are going to still run high going into the game. I don't see Devontae Adams being any more happy than he was tonight, leaving the game tomorrow morning. But you go over the game film, you watch it tomorrow, and then you put it in the past, and now it's New York Giants. So as soon as tomorrow's day ends, which they'll probably start a little later, so they'll probably end tomorrow's day around like 3:30 or 4. As soon as 3:30 or 4 o'clock hits Vegas time, now it's on to the Giants. And then you go to practice Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, like you typically would. Nothing changes there. You check into the M Resort on Saturday, and you play a game on Sunday, man. So nothing really changes outside the fact that you don't get that day off.
How hard is it, you know, we're about halfway through the season, like we keep talking about, but to lose that extra day of recovery, just body-wise, you know, we're still a few weeks out from the bye. Like, look, everyone is kind of banged up at this point in the NFL, but like, what are kind of some of the challenges of having that day, that losing that day, just to get your body right after a long flight back from Detroit?
Yeah, it's a lot, man, especially for, like, you have to think about the guys that have high value, right? So the guys like Max Crosby, you know, the quarterback that's playing the whole game, you know, the offensive lineman, you know, your Devontae Adams, even though he's just basically at track practice, just running around. So the guys that have a lot of high volume, like the linebackers, a lot of high collision plays, those guys are going to be a little slower. I mean, they're typically slower anyways earlier in the week, right? But that's when everybody has to work together to get through the week. Now the coaches have to say, hey, you know, I can't be burning Max out on Wednesday. You know, I got to let Max, you know, I need to let Max get his get his rest going. So he's gonna go some plays, some things, some funny wrinkle looks on the 9 and 7s, all that type of stuff. Team run. Okay. Like, Max, I'm gonna let you play a couple here. I'm gonna let you go a couple there. You know, Devontae, hey, you're not gonna take all these team, you know, these team pass reps, all these 7-on-7 reps today, and then try to rejuvenate those guys going into the week. Because if a coach doesn't help you with that, typically us as football players, we always err on the side of just always going as hard as possible. Mm-hmm. And you never want your guys to get hurt. So typically weeks like this for a guy like me, I'm going to have increased volume in practice because I might not play 70 snaps on offense. I might play 30 snaps. So now a guy like me, you know, a guy like Renfro,
some of those guys a little lower on the depth chart. Yeah.
Right. A little lower on the depth chart are going to have to like step up this week for the big dogs. And that's why it's called team football.
That's right. And look, the Raiders are going to have to play team football in a big way back home at Allegiant Stadium on Sunday, Duffel, right? They got to figure out a way to right this ship. We talk about it. Time is of the essence now, right? We're halfway home, essentially. The Raiders got to figure out a way to get the train back on the tracks, get their mind right, whatever sports cliche you want to use, because, man, it's go time now. It is 100% go time for your Las Vegas Raiders. All right, Duffel, it was good to see you again. I'll be in a virtual setting. One of these days, man, we're going to get you back out of here to Vegas. It'll be good to see you in person. And one of these days, even more importantly, we are going to talk about a Raiders win. Unfortunately, tonight is not that night, but it's good to see you. I appreciate your insight per usual. Just wrapping this up again, Raiders fall 26-14 to the Detroit Lions. For Eddie Pascal, for Bryce Butler, everyone else at Silver and Black Productions, thank you for hanging out with us in the fifth quarter presented by Twitch.
Thank you for listening to the fifth quarter presented by Twitch. Make sure to download the Raiders mobile app, and we'll see you next week.